I like this music. This fits my mood today. This really does. Well done. It's a beautiful day. Isn't that the song?
Okay.
Yeah, YouTube.
Yeah, it is YouTube. It's the first song that plays on the Snyder mix at K-State on football games.
Snyder soundtrack.
I love it for that reason.
I love all the Snyder soundtrack, man. Van Halen, Queen.
But that's not even your...
In Excess.
That's K-Rock music.
That's but I've been listening to it since I was a little kid growing up. Soft spot in my heart for it. All
right.
All those songs. Give me some Right Now by Van Halen, and I'll get pumped up, guaranteed. 537-1350. If you got a phone call, you can tweet us at the game, KMAN. We'll talk a little Dana Altman in the next segment at 540. Why he may have a... Who cares about Dana Altman? You'll find out when we get there.
All right. I'd be fine with just playing this over and over again for the next 30 minutes.
Let's be honest, we were all patiently waiting
we
for
were.
That.
We were, yeah, I was.
I had totally, blanked it out. I was not ready for that. That's why I'm laughing so much. Okay, you ready for, I was saying earlier, in some of our meetings, I feel like we need to wrap up the K-State season some more. There's more we could do with the K-State season being over. And I'm trying to sprinkle that in here with all the March Madness talk. I just came up with some quick-hitting questions to wrap up the K-State season that I think are fun to debate. And it all centered around one that I was just having a conversation with somebody, and it came up, and I thought, you know, that is a great point, a great discussion point for the year, how different things could have been. So we'll get to that. That's going to be one of the questions. But I've just got five quick questions here. Four, all based on last season, one looking ahead to next year.
Do I need little pieces of paper to write down my answer and match it to yours?
No. Nothing like that. But one thing that I actually tweeted, so you're going to know my answer about this right away. I tweeted this during the Wake Forest game that DJ Johnson was my favorite Bruce Weber era player. If we're talking players that were recruited by Bruce Weber and played for Bruce Weber, he is my favorite Bruce Weber era player. It's because, you know, just the transformation that he made from day one getting here, the development that he had. I mean, he developed probably more than any other player that's been in the program in the Bruce Weber era, plus just the comeback story and everything he went through. And the way he plays is fun. He plays so hard. It's easy to get behind him. I mean, that's basically my reasoning. I think DJ Johnson takes the cake for me. My question to you would be, we're losing DJ Johnson and Wesley Owundu. Are either one of those two guys your favorite Bruce Weber era player?
And by the way, I know that it would have been difficult for you to pick DJ over Ron Freeman, but...
Well, it was funny. When I tweeted it, immediately I got 10 people that were like, Javon, what about Javon?
Well, yeah,
I was like,
Javon,
yeah,
too.
I did really like Javon, but, I mean, that didn't really turn out so well. And I absolutely loved Ron Freeman, too. But,
yeah.
You know, facetiously, yeah.
Yeah, I think I have to go with DJ. DJ is the one that I have interacted with the most off the court, and... You know, he's one of the only K-State football or basketball players I know that would actually, if he saw me but I didn't see him, he'd go out of his way to, come say hi and ask how I'm doing. I mean, that, as much as anything on the court, I think stands with me because he's not a guy that's going to play professional basketball in all likelihood, and he just has a great personality and great leadership skills to be a solid person with whatever he chooses to do. So I would go with DJ.
He's going to go pro in something other than sports,
yeah.
As they say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, question number two here. And this is the one that really sparked this whole segment for me. If you could change one play this season, what would it be?
Well, my first thought actually was the Sweeve travel.
That's awesome.
That, in which we hadn't brought up in a while, the speed travel. But actually, when you think about it, you got to go about 20 seconds previous to that. And if Dean Wade hits that shot, that three-pointer at Kansas, and then K-State wins that game, who knows what direction the season would have gone in? I mean, I still don't think that this team would have been, would have been playing tonight, so to speak. But they wouldn't have been a bubble team, I don't think. I think they would have finished better than sixth in the conference. I mean, it just would have taken on a little bit different life and a little bit different personality.
You know, Sweeve has made a great deal of improvement.
I'm glad I gave you enough time with my answer to go find that audio.
But. Yeah, I think I'm with you, and this is what got me going. I was thinking, man, if that Dean Wade shot goes in, which then the assumption is K-State wins the game, how different is the season? At that point, they would have been 13-1, 2-0 in the league with a win at Allen Fieldhouse. it completely erases the narrative at the time, which was things are nice, but the schedule has been pillowy soft. You have not beaten anybody of substance. Doesn't get more substantive than winning an Allen Fieldhouse in the Big 12. So I think that dramatically alters how the season goes, just from the standpoint of how people feel about the team. It would not have been as negative as the rest of the season started to wear on. They could have gained momentum. There's just a lot of things that could have changed from that one shot being different.
I think we're both on board with this, but before we move on to the next one, I want to ask you this. If I gave you two choices for what would be second place in this question, number one would be the end of the game against Maryland. Because if you win that, that's an undefeated non-conference schedule. The Tennessee thing was part of the – I mean, that was later. Anyway.
Right, but some of the same principles would apply there to what I'm saying about the Kansas game.
And then the other one is the end of the West Virginia game in the Big 12 tournament, because if you win that, you are in the Big 12 championship game against Iowa State. I could see K-State potentially winning that game, and then you have a trophy that you're actually bringing back as part of this season. So those two I would give you for the play that you would choose second.
Yeah, West Virginia makes a lot of sense because of what you're saying, but I still think this team was fighting uphill for so much of the season based on like what people thought of the team, and you know, myself included, I'm not going to lie. I mean, there was a lot of criticism levied to this team. I think anything early on that could have helped them out in terms of getting big wins would be more important, so I would go back to the Maryland game and say make sure that you hit a game-winning shot there. That, to me, would be it. Sort of along these same lines, number three was most frustrating loss of the season.
Honestly, as bad as the ones at home were, like, I think TCU is like a 1A, 1B with Texas Tech on the road. Because Texas Tech losing that game on the road, it was a game that you thought you had won. It was a game that had some very questionable officiating later on. And it came after, you know, beating West Virginia at home. So you had that opportunity to go steal that road win, and you'd feel really good about where you were at that point in time. I think that both of those would be in the conversation for me.
Which one are you going with?
I'll go with Texas Tech. That one bugged me more than losing to TCU at home.
I had Texas Tech as well. Just because it's a game you should have won. It looks worse here at the end of the year, judging by what Texas Tech turned out to be. That makes it even more frustrating, and it had everything. It had poor late-game execution and a controversial call. I mean, there was, like, all the ingredients of fan frustration in losing that game at Texas Tech. So there are certainly others that could be in the running. I mean, hey, I would listen to an argument that it's the Allen Fieldhouse loss
just
because you were so close, and that could have changed the season so much. Or you could go on the total opposite end, like just the worst. I mean, the Tennessee loss was horrible. That was maybe the worst that they played.
Oklahoma.
Year. Was that game at Oklahoma. Yeah. Forgot about that one. But those two, you know, if you wanted to just take that side of the argument, but to me, I would grab Texas Tech as well. Most fun moment of the season. Mm-hmm. This one gives you some leeway because I'm just saying moment. That could be one play, a run, a game, whatever it is you want it to be.
Even though they played so poorly in the second half of that game, I think I'd probably say winning at Baylor just because of the historical significance. You know, it was the first time in 23 years that K-State had won a game at the AP number one or two team. I don't know. You felt like that was a game that also could turn around the season and get things going in the right direction. It didn't, but at that time, I was pretty fired up that K-State won in that situation.
I actually really liked, you may be a little surprised by this, but the run that K-State had when they were down by 12 in the first half at home to West Virginia, the run to get it close at halftime with that buzzer beater from Stokes, and then turning around and backing it up in the second half by taking the lead and taking control. That was early enough of the season. There was still seemingly a lot of optimism. I had fun with that. I thought that was about the most fun that I had watching the team there. Honestly, close in the conversation was the first like 8 minutes of the Kansas game at home when they jumped down in front of Kansas, and they were just running up and down the floor. That was about the most fun stretch of basketball this team played.
But I can't back that up because, at least for me, in my mind, even when K-State was ahead 20-8, I'm like, it's going to happen. The Kansas run is going to happen. It's just a matter of when, not if. And, you know, it did.
Finally, this one's looking towards next year, and I think this is an incredibly difficult question to answer. Who leads K-State in scoring next year?
Barry Brown.
Yeah, I would put Barry Brown. I think it's the safe bet, but I think – who do I want it to be? Who do you want it to be if you're hoping for the best for the team? Dean Wade?
Yes.
There's some options here, though. I mean, Kamau Stokes, Barry Brown, Dean Wade, they're all very close as far as their numbers this year. If you think Xavier Sneed's going to make a big jump, I'm not sure that I believe long-term necessarily in his jumper right now enough to proclaim him the guy who's going to be the leading scorer next year. I think you're looking at one of those veterans, and I just don't trust Dean Wade enough, unfortunately, right now. Then it comes down to Kamau Stokes and Barry Brown. Kamau, just judging by the fact that he may be bogged down with still having to play a lot of point guard, I'd go Barry Brown to be the guy.
I just think that Barry Brown and Dean Wade, for K-State to be an NCAA tournament next year, an NCAA tournament team next year, Brown and Wade need to combine for 30 a night. They need to combine for 30 a night. You could have, you know, Barry Brown getting 16 or 17 a game and then Dean Wade being the number two guy or vice versa, but they're going to need to get that from them on a consistent basis.
We've got You Can't Be Serious at 550. Still to come, though, when we return, why Dana Altman can beat Kansas. Telling you, next on The Game.